This is Judith Lay saying Moramai and welcome, as the island's Christian community is once again at your service. Manx Radio. We're starting the third week of the season that the Christian Church calls Advent, a month of preparation so that when Christmas comes, it will bring us a new awareness of deep peace, true joy, and the sure knowledge that we are loved. Today we meet someone else travelling the road to Christmas, not a character from the Bible, but a brand new arrival in our midst. Reverend Sean Turner is living in Colby with responsibility for the 9 Methodist churches in the south of the island. He hails from the United States of America, and his journey to the island has made this a very different Advent experience for him. We'll find out more after our first hymn, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, sung for us by the choir of St. John's College, Cambridge.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free, from our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee.
Another great Advent hymn from the choir of St. John's College, Cambridge. Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And now it's time to meet someone else travelling on the road to Christmas. A new arrival on the island, Methodist minister Reverend Sean Turner, who's based in Colby with care of the Methodist churches in the south. But to fully understand Sean's journey, we need to learn some of his story. And we welcome him to share that now.
I'm really delighted to be here. I've only been here 2 months yesterday, actually. And I love everything that I've seen. If you have me by the ocean, that's perfect. If you have me in a place where there's lots of hiking, that's perfect. And my degree is in history, so it's a perfect place. I even love the weather.
Home for you is North Carolina?
Yes. Yes, North Carolina, which is in the American South on the East Coast. It's where I was born and where I spent most of my life, although this is my second trip across the pond, as they say. But I grew up on a family farm, which is no longer a working farm. The family farms just can't survive. And in 1996, I came over on a one-year appointment. I was tapped on the shoulder one day when I was still in seminary. There was a program back then where people did this for a year. They'd come over for the experience. And the person that headed up just said, do you still want to go to Britain for a year? And I said, yes. And he said, we need somebody to go in August. Now, this was in late May, and I didn't even have a passport. I said, maybe, because I had been reappointed as a student for the coming year. So I wasn't in a church. I was doing another degree. And I said, when do you need to know? And he said, take your time, as long as you know by tomorrow morning. So I made a couple of quick phone calls, you know, the first to my mother. But I'm blessed in that she had lived for a year in Heidelberg in Germany and taught at the American High School on the army base there. And so she was perfectly happy with it, mainly because she did come and visit. And the more I thought about it that day, the more excited I got. And so the next day I said yes. And 2 months later, I was getting on a plane and making my first trip across the water ever. That year I came for, I was in Hackney in London, which was a complete change from home because North Carolina is as large as England, but has the population roughly of London. And the circuit that I was in was largely West African and West Indian. So as a white male, I overnight went from the dominant culture to the dominant minority. And so I got to experience life from that side. And that was very, very good for me. Just that different point of view. And the people were wonderful and amazing cooks. But I remember that first Christmas, I was in London. I was on my own because there was no public transport on Christmas Day. And I almost literally cried myself to sleep on Christmas Eve. And yet I knew I was where God wanted me to be. And I'd already been asked to stay. And I did. I had to change appointments, but I'd stayed. And when I went home in 2010, I was telling people I was in the 14th year of my one-year appointment. So after Hackney, I went to Clydebank outside of Glasgow for my next appointment. Being near Loch Lomond, you know, gosh, somebody had to do it. You know, it was really good. And then in 1998, I transferred from the United Methodist Church to British Methodism because I knew by that point this was going to be a long-term something. You know, at that point had been the most powerful, what I call God touch in my life. And so I transferred in 98, and the conference in Britain was in Scarborough that year. And the president of conference was from Scotland. So he had sort of taken me under his wing, and I was going to be ordained in British Methodism. So I was ordained in York Minster, and that was Peter Stevens. And Donald English of blessed memory preached the sermon, which was amazing. And it was just a wonderful weekend. And I had no clue that 3 years later, my next appointment would be in the center of York, a hop, skip, and a jump from the Minster. My next 5 years were there. And then my last 2.5 years, I was on the North of Scotland mission circuit, and I lived in Cullen, which is halfway between Inverness and Aberdeen. But unfortunately, in 2010, my mother died. So I had to go home. I went back home because I had, you know, the farm and the land and the house to take care of. And there's also Lee, who is my cousin, who's an adult with Down syndrome. And so I became his trustee, just looking after his expenses. And I transferred back to the United Methodist Church, you know, thinking that was it, that it was a wonderful experience. Served 3 rural churches in a farming area. That was for 5 years. And the next 5 years, I had one church for the only time in my life. That was north of Charlotte, which is our largest city. And had a really difficult decade. I mean, it started with my mother dying. There was divorce. There was difficult things happening in the church. And I had some pretty major health problems for a year or so, which were all stress-related. And I was working on my doctorate. I took 2 months leave. We call it renewal leave. It's sort of like a sabbatical. So I went to the beach for a month, and Monday to Thursday I would write. And then over the weekend would just be my leave that I was supposed to be renewing myself with. And to figure out, you know, what am I going to do and how am I going to do my ministry? Because I knew even in the worst of times, and I went through a 2-year period, which was the long dark night of the soul. But I was determined, all right, God, we're going to make some good come out of this. And finished writing for the day, walking along the beach, absolutely freezing because it's February. And that God touch in 96 is no longer the most powerful God touch that I've ever had. Standing on the beach, you talk about a movement of the Spirit. It was so powerful. I could not begin to explain it. I just wish you could feel what I felt, because it was very clear. God was saying, you're going back. You're going back. And I knew where that meant. That meant you're going back to Britain. And there was no way I could say anything except, yes, yes, God. But you know, I'd become his guardian by that point. And I said, but you know, Lee can't go. So I got in touch with London and was told, well, yeah, you can come, but Lee can't come because he's not my son. I'm just his guardian. And I just kept pushing and asking questions and looking on my own at the immigration website because I knew there must be a way. And eventually all the obstacles just laid down one after the other. And so we finally found a way. And so I sent the paperwork in to start the process. And between the time of being approved to come back and knowing where I was going to be sent, I had a dream. And in the dream, very vivid, I was on the Isle of Man. I was coming down a hill. I was out hill walking. And so I went down into this village and I went into a pub to have lunch. That's all the dream was. But I think about that And I just think it's part of the whole process where God was moving this. So, yeah, it was a journey.
At the moment, the journey that we're all on is our journey towards Christmas. And you make no secret of the fact that you love Christmas, that it is a very special time. So presumably this journey through Advent also is a special time for you.
I adore Christmas. I spend all year counting down to Christmas. I just love it. You know, it's so wonderful. But there was a lot of waiting this year. We were supposed to have come in August, and we didn't come until October because we were just waiting on the permissions and approvals and getting through the government processes. I mean, the church process was easy, and the Isle of Man part was pretty easy, but trying to get the visa sorted out was just an ongoing saga. As mad as I am about Christmas, this has been the first Advent in forever that I have actually had Advent. You know, there was the waiting to come, and then when we came, we had to wait for our furniture and clothes to arrive. And that was very hard for Lee because he missed his Xbox, which we found the day the furniture arrived on a Monday, but I didn't find his controller until Friday. You know, we've basically been living out of our suitcases, and it was fine. So it's helped everything to slow down, which is one of my normal things that I try to pick up on in Advent. We can get so tied up in the madness of the preparations and getting everything done that, you know, some people really struggle with enjoying Christmas because they have so many things that they think they have to get done. And this year I've been able to just keep it slow. It's been a completely different experience. And I'll tell you one thing I love about the Isle of Man, among many. We arrived on October 12th. And so from that time, we have not had to have a mask on, where at home, we still have to have a mask. In fact, we're going the other way. We're shutting back down in the area that we're from. We can go to church. We can sing. We can go out to eat. We can go for a walk. It's wonderful to be able to do that. And you don't know how much you've really missed it until you can get out and do it again.
Thank you to Reverend Sean Turner, sharing his story as he walks, for him, a very different road through Advent to Christmas. The Bible reading, which will be used in many churches today, is another taken from the prophet Isaiah. And after we've listened to the verses, which were written around 700 years before the birth of Christ, Reverend Sean will join us again to share some thoughts on what these verses might say to us as we prepare to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, God made man.
The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the young plant come up and a garden causes seed to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
Today, it's Isaiah 61, which is a well-known passage because Jesus quotes it when he goes to his home synagogue, opens the scroll of Isaiah, and he reads, "The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, bring good news to the captives and the prisoners, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." this part of Isaiah, the Israelites had just come back from exile in Babylon. And so things are not great, and it's a real struggle to live. This isn't just for them at that time. There are people today who are oppressed. There are prisoners and captives who need to be set free and have good news preached to them. There are certainly people who are brokenhearted, and there are certainly people who mourn. I mean, you think about the 7 funerals that we've had in the South in the 2 months that I've been here. Whatever our faith, people are going to be mourning at Christmas. Here we are in a time when certainly attendance in the mainstream denominations is declining and churches are struggling. Who doesn't need to have the year of the Lord's favor proclaimed? And we're getting in all these Advent readings this reminder that whatever, however bad we may think it is, this is still God's world. God is still working. In our waiting, God is still working. God is still transforming. God is still redeeming. And we're working toward that day when Jesus comes again, just like they were waiting for the Messiah to come at this point. So I'm encouraging people to hear that is, the Lord has anointed me. I'm anointed to do this in my own life. Doesn't mean you have to go stand on a street corner and start preaching or, you know, knock on people's door. Just have a conversation with your family or a close friend and, you know, just make it you, make it your life. One of the phrases that I have used for years is, you know, make God's love the background to everything that you are.
Some other verses from the prophet Isaiah, also used in church services during Advent, seem to have a very clear message for us today, as Monsignor John Devine, senior Roman Catholic priest on the island, now explains.
Prophet Isaiah, we have the passage made famous for us by Handel's Messiah, when the prophet talks about comfort ye, speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call to her that her time of service is ended. And then it goes on to say, prepare in the wilderness a way for the Lord, make a straight highway for our God across the desert. Let every valley be filled in, every mountain and hill be laid low. Now, this isn't something that requires a JCB. It's not about moving earth around or altering the landscape. But it's about restoring inequalities. It's about rebalancing and giving everybody access to the same rights, the same benefits.
The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
And of course, we can look at this figuratively in terms of justice, but also there's a sense with our renewed understanding of the environment that actually This restoration of justice and balance is actually required in the way we look after our environment and the wonderful resource that the earth is for us, and how we've despoiled it and exploited it and are ruining it, this wonderful creation that we've got. So all this is part of our longing, what we long for.
Reverend Sean Turner and Monsignor John Devine, each walking the Advent road to Christmas. Hello, it's Judith Leigh here, apologising for the technical difficulties this morning that has prevented me from bringing you the full edition of At Your Service for today. My interview with New Methodist Minister Reverend Sean Turner will feature in next week's edition of the programme. Last week, Reverend Alex Brown joined us on this programme with news of Christmas Live, a chance for us all to share in the retelling of the Christmas story. Here's a reminder of why Alex thinks it's so important for us to do this.
As churches, we need to be proclaiming and talking about this story so that everyone can access it and everyone's invited into it is really, really important. It's a central part of the Christian faith, is that what God has done is not to be kept to ourselves as some kind of little secret that we have, like a secret God club we don't invite anyone into, but actually that we share this news with the whole world.
And the Christmas story is being shared on a grand scale in Douglas this Thursday evening.
Douglas Town Centre Management have done all of the background stuff because it's really their event that I'm helping to run. And then we've got Justin from ELS who's going to come in and do all of our staging and lighting. So it actually looks really high quality. And then the churches have come together and we are the ones who are putting the actual performance on. So we have got the live animals, we have got the costumes, we've got a choir, we've got the Salvation Army band, and we've also got Christy De Haven from our wonderful Max Radio who's going to come and she's going to sing a secret song, which I'm not going to tell you about, which is part of when the shepherds see the angels. And it's just going to be this brilliant, brilliant experience for everybody, where we get to revisit the Christmas story in a really contemporary way that feels entertaining but doesn't water down the importance of the story.
The tickets cost £2 each, but there is a particular reason for this, as Alex now explains.
When you think about the Christmas story and you think about what it's really about, Jesus came to help transform lives. So what we really also wanted to do was to find a way that we can build into some local charities. The two charities are Motivate and Gry. So Gry is a faith-based charity which helps with people who have homeless issues surrounding them. And Motivate is a secular charity, and their work is incredible with people who have addiction issues and families who are living with addiction in their family. And I'm just over the moon that we can split all of the funds that come in between those two charities. So we've gone as low as we can. It's just £2 a ticket. But if you really do struggle with that, then you can go and see Ollie, and I'm sure he'd be able to do something for you. On the 17th, it's the last big Thursday shop before Christmas. There's a performance at 6 o'clock and there's a performance at 7:30. You can choose between the two. And tickets are really easy to get. The website is christmaslive.im. And from there, there's the Eventbrite link. But you can also contact Douglas Town Centre Management and they'll give you the Eventbrite link. The whole year could be seen as the worst year in living memory for many people. But this is an opportunity for us to put things into the much bigger eternal perspective and say, God is still God, there is still good news, and as a community we can come together and we can celebrate life and hope and faith.
And in the last few moments of the programme, let's take a look at our notice board. The Cool Chapel Carol Service is on Tuesday the 15th at 7 p.m. There'll be special items by the young people of the chapel and the soloist is Mrs. Christine Brigazzi. And there'll be refreshments after the service. The following day, Wednesday the 16th, there'll be the Business Park Carol Service in the Cool Chapel, starting at 1:15. This'll be shorter to fit in with a lunch break and members from the business community will take part in the service. In St Thomas's Church in Finch Road here in Douglas on Thursday the 17th at 2 p.m, there'll be a Christingle service with St Thomas's school children. Everyone is most welcome to come and share in the service. Port St Mary Methodist Church invites you to a Tabor on Thursday Extra on the 17th of December at 7:30 p.m. Carols and crumpets with an admission charge of £5 per person. And next Saturday the 19th, you're invited to a Christmas celebration by candlelight in Orrisdale Chapel starting at 6 p.m. The chairman will be Gordon Clegg and you're asked to bring along a plate of food, and this event celebrates the opening of the chapel after being closed for 3 years. That's all we've time for right now, but as you might imagine, there's much more that I can tell you about, and I will do tonight on Sundown. I'll be sharing notice board news on the programme between 10 and 11:30. Thank you to my guests, Reverend Sean Turner and Monsignor John Devine, and as always, my thanks to you for your company. If you'd like to choose a hymn or Christmas carol for the programme, email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com. I'll be back here tonight with Sundown from 9 o'clock and again next Sunday morning, either from 7:30 as a podcast via our website, manxradio.com, or on your radio at 9:30, when the Christian community of the island will once again be at your service. But right now, this is Judith, thinking of you and those you love, and very especially those you're separated from at this time. I wish you strength to cope and moments of joy in the days ahead, and a very good morning.
The Nation Station.